begin a series of lessons on Sunday night, beginning tonight, on the Beatitudes of Jesus. You're very familiar with them. I did provide an outline for you. I hope everyone, if you'd like one, received one. I'll take each Beatitude each Sunday night, Lord willing, as time permits. So tonight we just give the introduction and the first of the Beatitudes. And I put the verse in the top of your notes. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 1, and here's what the text says. Seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, here's the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So first the lesson we look at is that word blessed. What does that mean? Certainly I want a blessing from God, so what are the requirements? And so by definition, it's a Greek word that's been translated, oh, the bliss. Another phrase used is, oh, the happiness. Or, oh, the contentment. Or, oh, the joy. And so the blessing here is receiving the good things that come from God. And these good things that come from God don't depend on our outward circumstances. No matter what your status in life or your situation in life or hardships or difficulties or good things, you can receive a blessing from God, and it's going to be based on being poor in spirit. So it's a joy that no one can take from us, even if they take our life, someone said. So blessed, there's a blessing. So in accordance with God's eternal plan, these Beatitudes look for the blessing or the joy in the right place. People look for joy and happiness in a lot of places. And so many of them are the wrong places. But Jesus says, here's the right place. Here's the right place to find eternal spiritual joy. Yeah, on God's side. The first blessing requires humility. If I'm not poor in spirit, I'm going to miss out on the kingdom. That's what Jesus just said. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, that'd be poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say blessed are the poor in purse. No, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, the condemnation is not because in the Bible because we have treasure and poverty doesn't guarantee our entrance into the kingdom. Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. First requirement. James says in chapter 4, verse 7, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humility. He'll exalt you. Humbleness. So here are some definitions or descriptions of what it means to be poor in spirit. Number one, I put, it's the opposite of being rich in spirit. That's kind of obvious, isn't it? So if you want to gain entrance into the kingdom, you can't be full of yourself. In other words, you can't have an attitude of pride or an inflated ego or seeing that I don't need any help from God. I'm rich in spirit, God. Pretty confident, self-assurance, self-righteousness, self-sufficiency. Well, Jesus said, poor in spirit. And yours is the kingdom of heaven. Romans chapter 10, verse 2 gives an illustration. Paul said, for I bear them witness they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Ah. For they, being unlearned of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Ah. So Jesus says, you know, his first requirement to gain entrance into the kingdom is humility, being poor in spirit. A second definition is that it's to be a beggar. And there's a difference between being poor and being beggarly. Jesus uses the word beggarly in the definition. You see, a beggar is desperate. Desperation overwhelms a beggar. Desperation and being a beggar keeps them searching for, in physical things, food and shelter. There's a desperation for the necessities of life. And so Jesus takes that illustration and he says, and as strange as it may appear, beggarliness in Christianity is a virtue. It says, God, I need you again today. It's saying, God, you're providing something I cannot provide for myself. I need to be poor in spirit. God says God's providing something that we need, and I'm desperate for that. I want to be poor in spirit. I need to be a spiritual beggar, and I put a spiritual pauper as a prerequisite to gain entrance into the kingdom. A third definition or description is that it's realizing our own unworthiness. Now, who am I? Think about that for a moment. Who am I? And then we look at all of these definitions of poor in spirit. They're all related. As long as a person feels like I'm pretty good about myself, I'm okay, or I compare my own good points with others that are doing less, I feel pretty good about my position, or I feel pretty satisfied. I feel pretty good. Oh, but I'm rich in spirit. Yeah, but Jesus says you need to be poor in spirit. Poor. And if we can't be poor in spirit, we can't enter the kingdom. The kingdom is not ours. See, I need what God offers. I'm desperate for that. Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, verse 5, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Paul said in Romans 3, verse 10, there's none righteous. Nope. Not one. Not one. Poor in spirit. The fourth definition or description, spiritually bankrupt. By definition, just in case it would help us in understanding, bankrupt means legally declared unable to pay your debts, poor in spirit. Until I see myself as unable to pay the debt I owe for my sins, I'll not go to the right place for debt relief. I need to be poor in spirit. Need to have humility to come to God. God, I can't make it myself. I can't provide it for myself. I need what you're offering. I'm desperate for that. I'm beggarly. Give me what I need, because I can't do it on my own. You know that song we sing? He paid a debt.
He did not.
God, if I can read the words. Hymn number 376. So here are the words. He paid a debt, meaning Jesus, that he did not owe. I owed a debt that I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. So now I sing a brand new song. It's Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. I'm a spiritual beggar. Second stanza. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Poor in spirit. I'm spiritually bankrupt. Unable to pay the debt that I owe. Then number five, it's a broken spirit. Psalm 51, verse 17, David said it this way. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Now, for the sake of illustration, in the Old Testament, fat cattle and choice sheep by the thousands were acceptable to God. That animal sacrifices, a couple of illustrations. When the ark was brought into the temple, that's when Solomon finished the temple in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 8, verse 5. King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Ooh, lots of sacrifices, animal sacrifices. Now, look good on the outside, I'm making an animal sacrifice. When the temple was dedicated, in verse 63 of 1 Kings 8, Solomon offered a sacrifice, a peace offering, which he offered up to the Lord, 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. You see, in the Old Testament, God wanted animal sacrifices. Yet God inspired David to write that it was the broken heart that God wanted with him. 1,000 fat sheep and a proud heart were an abomination to God. Well, I'll take the 1,000 sheep, but I want a contrite heart. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, you know, if I bestow all my goods to the poor, but don't have love, it profits me nothing. Nothing. Two pigeons with a broken heart and a dependent heart is pleasing to God. Two pigeons versus 120,000 sheep offering? I'll take the two pigeons with a broken heart. That's a lot of bad sacrifices. I'll take the broken heart. Poor in spirit. Number six in your notes, the illustration in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. He spoke a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They despised others. Oh, they're rich in spirit. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector, a publican. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. He beat his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he said. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Only one was justified. The one who is poor in spirit. For us, the message of the cross needs to break our heart. Here's what it means, poor in spirit. Calvary has to crush our hearts, break our spirit. The gospel of salvation needs to move us to see our desperation and need for God's mercy, poor in spirit. Otherwise, the kingdom of heaven will not be ours. Let me illustrate it. One is baptized because someone said, you need the church, and the church needs you. Then there's pride involved. And he's not coming because he's poor, he or she is poor in spirit. If we say some clean living, high principled person, all he needs is to be baptized. They need more than just burial in water. They need humiliation of spirit, knowledge of spirit destitution, seeing a need for a Savior. They need to be poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Peter said, repent and be converted. And be converted. That your sins may be blotted out, and that God may send seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ. Peter said, no, you need to repent, turn your life around, but and be converted for experience. For theirs is the kingdom of God. The last illustration, Acts chapter 26, you're familiar with the Philip and the Ethiopian. He was a worshiper, Bible reader, government official, but Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? Well, he wasn't insulted because he had a heart that was poor in spirit. He could have said, Philip, you know who I am? You know my position in life? He said, how can I understand? Poor in spirit. How can I let someone guide me? And then he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. This is an officer. He has a caravan, a worshiper, a Bible reader. And he thought that he knew all the answers. The message of Jesus wouldn't have touched his heart that day. But he said, I don't have all the answers. I need someone to guide me. Give me information. And that's what Philip did. He preached unto him Jesus. And then he reached a certain point. They see water, and the Ethiopian said, what hinders me from being baptized? Well, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip says, stop the chariot. They both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And they come up out of the water, and he goes on his way rejoicing. You see, humility is a prerequisite to obedient faith, to baptism, to entering the kingdom. You need to see that God voluntarily provided salvation that we needed and could not provide for ourselves. One last thing, I'll close with this. The hymn, the favorite song, Rock of Ages. The hymn writer captured this lesson right here, poor in spirit. In the second stanza, it says, not the labor of my hands. Not the labor of my hands. If I could just work around the clock for my sins, to pay the debt I owe, if I could just work 24 hours a day, all day, every day, my whole life, can't fulfill the law's demand. Could my zeal no respite know? Oh, if I could just, boy, just be gung-ho. Be confident and assured. Could my tears forever flow? If I could just cry because of I messed my life up. If I could just cry over that and cry and cry and cry. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. The last stanza, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, I come to thee for dress. Helpless, I look to thee for grace. And then I put the last phrase in your notes. Vile, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Poor in spirit. I'll get an idea of what does that mean? What does that look like? All these descriptions. In all these words. Next week, we'll, Lord willing, we'll take the next one in the list of the Beatitudes. And there's other songs that we sing. I put in my note, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, poor in spirit. There stands a rock. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame or their treasure or their land, but mine's on the rock. Forever shall stand. Jesus, the Rock of Ages. We say, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we get a handle on what does that mean, poor in spirit? Not just humility. That sense, God, I need you again today. help me. So that's the lesson. If you've not been baptized for remission of sins, we always extend that invitation. Just as the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him, Jesus. Humility, poor of spirit, I need guidance. And then when he heard the lesson of Jesus, he understood. He said, here's water, what can you do? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, if you believe, you may. I'll tell you what I believe. Well, you you can be baptized. Stop the chariot. So let's stand together. We'll sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Whosoever will may come. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply let your request be known.